ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Tata sha hi, oh sorry, saptaratra ante vidyaya dharyamanya vidyadhara adipatyam cha lebhi pratihatam nirpa tathasa sapta ratrante vidyaya dharyamanaya vidyahara dipatyam cha lebhi pratihatam nirpa tathasapta ratrante vidyaya dharmayana vidyahara dipatyam cha lebhi pratihatam nirpam tathasapta ratrante vidyaya dharmayana vidyaharadipatyam cha lebhi pratihatam nirpam ratrante vidyaya dharmanaya patyam cha Devi Pratya Am Nirpa Tata Sapta Ratrante Vidyaya Daya Manaya Vidyahara Dipatyam Cha Devi Pratya Am Nirpa Tata Sataptam Ratrante Vidyahara Dhammanaya Vidyahara Dipatyam Cha Levi Pratihatam Nirpa Saptapya Ratante Patyam cha Devi Pratipatam Nirpa Tata Satapta Ratranke Vidyaya Dharmanaya Vidyadharani Patyam cha Devi Pratihatam Nirpa Tata Satapta Ratrante Vidyaya Dharmanaya Vidyaharadi Patyam Cha Devi Pratihatam Nirpa Tata Satapta Ratrante Vidyaya Dharmanaya Tata, from this, Saha, he, Saptaratriyanti, at the end of 7 nights, Vidyaya, by the prayers, Dharmanaya, being carefully practiced, Vityahara Adipatyam, mastership of the Vidyahara as an intermediate result. Cha and Lebhi achieved Api Pratatam, undeviated from the instructions of the spiritual master. Nirpa, O King. Translation in purple by His Divine Grace Abhaya Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. 22:27:28. Translations. Fasting and drinking only water, Chichuketu for 1 week continuously chanted with great care and attention the mantra given by Narad Muni. O King Parikshit, after only 1 week of repeatedly practicing the mantras received from the spiritual master, Chitraketu achieved the rule of the planet of the Vidyataras as an intermediate product of his spiritual advancement in knowledge. Please repeat. O King Parikshit, after only 1 week of repeatedly practicing the mantra received from the spiritual master, Chitraketu achieved the rule of the planet of the Vidyadharas as an intermediate product of his spiritual advancement in knowledge. Purport. If a devotee, after being initiated, adheres rigidly to the instructions of the spiritual master, he is naturally endowed with the material opulences of Vidyadhara Adipatyam and similar posts as byproducts. A devotee need not practice yoga, karma, jnana to achieve successful results. Devotional service alone is competent to award a devotee all material power. A pure devotee, however, is never attached to material power, although he gets it very easily without any personal endeavor. Chitraketu received this side benefit of his devotional service, which he rigidly performed in accordance with the instructions of Narada. Om Agyant Midandasha Jananjanan Shalakaya Takshuran Manitandina Tasmai Shri Grima Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garatha Shiva Shari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hari 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 Ram Hari Ram 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 Hari Hari. So here, continuing the story of King Chitraketu, a great king, Sukadeva Goswami was asking about that great demon Vritasura, who was killed by Indra, but actually he was a great devotee. So Parikshit's question was, how was he such a great devotee? How was he to able to express such devotion on the battlefield with his enemy? So this is in reply, it's telling the story of Chitraketu, who was he was the emperor of the world actually, and as we've read, he had millions of wives, maybe 10 million wives, something. 10 million wives, but he couldn't get any children. So he's in complete anxiety because of the king needs progeny to continue running the kingdom. Do pinda for the forefathers, like that. So then the great sage Angira came and he said, I can fulfill your desire, but you can have a son, but he will be the source of great happiness and the source of great distress. So King Kichichochu was very, very happy. He just heard that he'll be a source of great happiness. He didn't consider the distressful part so much at the time, because he was happy he was going to get a son after so long. So finally he got a son, but all of his attention went to his son and his wife, who bore the child, and all the other co-wives became jealous, so they planned to kill the child. So somehow or another they killed the child, and naturally King Kichichetu was thrown into a great deeper delusion and illusion. Then Angira Muni came. And he said, I told you, he'd be the source of happiness and the source of distress. Well, while he was living, you were very so happy. Now he's gone, you were so distressed. And so this time he brought Narad Muni with him, and the sage Angira, and he told him to Narad to preach to King Kichichetu. Then he went, and what we've been hearing the last few chapters, they're preaching about the lamentation of King Kichichetu. As Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, you are lamenting for that which is not worth lamenting. You cannot kill the soul is eternal. It's never destroyed, never cut, not burned. So why you lament about something that's perishable anyway, it's going to die anyway. So he's all... So then Narad Muni brought the dead boy back to life again. And the boy, he simply spoke philosophy. Everyone was happy to see the boy alive, but he said, whose son am I? Who is my mother? Who is my father? I've had millions and millions of mothers, millions of fathers. I've identified as my mother, but now I've got a new set. You're still identified as your son. And then I'll move on and I'll get another mother and father. So what is this identification? Mother, father, they're all bodily designations. So in that state of consciousness, he was shocked because his child had just died, but in that state of consciousness, he understood the philosophy, and a mood of renunciation awoke in him due to the mercy of Narad Muni and Angira Muni. And he was able to actually become detached from the whole situation. And so they gave him mantras, and now he's chanting these mantras. Only after 7 days only, he got the fruit of his mantra. The Lord appeared to him. Only 7 days chanting, because he was so sincere in following the process that his guru told him, the instructions that his guru told him. He became so sincere, but there was immediately there was a result of his mantras. So it just shows the fact that, you know, we're awake 7 years. 17 years, 37 years, 50. But to show that you can become Krishna consciousness immediately, practice Prabhupada. And if you're simply sincere about the instructions of the spiritual master and you put them into practice, and the example also is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Mahaprabhu went to Gaya, on the plea of doing pinda for his father, he went to meet his spiritual master. Ishvara Puri was there. And there he took initiation. And previous to that he was Nimai Pandit, very acting his pastimes of scholarship, being a pandit. He was very arrogant, very haughty, used to tease the Vaishnavas. But then when he took initiation, he became very serious. He actually became Krishna's devotee, he became very serious about the initiation of Mishvara Puri. He initiated him chanting the mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So he began chanting that mantra, and within a very few days he started to feel different kinds of ecstasies he had never experienced before. So he asked his spiritual master, I don't know what's happening, but ever since I'm chanting this mantra you give me, I think I'm becoming pagal, I think I'm becoming mad, because sometimes I start laughing uncontrollably, sometimes crying, sometimes I roll on the ground, sometimes I'm dancing. I don't know what is the cause of this, but it must be this mantra, because before I wasn't like this. I think maybe I'm becoming haunted, or is it a result? Ishvara Puri said, very, very good, my child, very good. You keep going as you're going. This is a symptom of love of Krishna, that you're experiencing Krishna, the presence of Krishna in the mantra. It was none different, and that caused him to display so many symptoms of ecstasy. So we can't say that, you know, Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore he can do that, he can act like that. No, this wasn't an act. This wasn't an act. Mahaprabhu was actually acting as a bhakta. He was a bhakta. Bhakta avatar. He came to play this role as a bhakta. He wanted to understand the devotion of his bhakta, specifically Srimati Radharani, how much love she has for him, what is her experience when she's loving. He wanted to experience, so he came as a bhakta, as a devotee. And so he was actually a devotee. He was acting like a devotee. He wasn't saying, well, I'm the Supreme Personality of God, and I can, everything is with my control, I can manifest ecstasy, I can manifest. He didn't say that, or he didn't do that. Just like Damodar, in a few days' time you're going to see Damodar Leela. As Yashoda is tying Krishna, and the description is that he's actually shaking, he's crying and he's shaking, and tears are falling, his mascara is running down his face, and he's actually shaking so much. He has a pearl necklace and it's rattling because of his body is uncontrollably shaken. Mother, I've been an offender, please don't beat me. He saw the stick in her hand. She wasn't going to beat him, but she showed him. But he was actually scared and he was actually shaking. We don't say, well, because he was the Supreme Personality of God, that he was just making an act. He wasn't. He was actually scared of his mother. He was frightened. So when Krishna comes, he plays the part of a child, he plays imperfection. When he plays the part of a lover, he plays in perfection. When he plays in part of a friend, he plays in perfection. So here he comes as a devotee of Krishna, so he plays in perfection. And so because Mahaprabhu took that so sincerely, that instruction of Ishvara Puri, immediately he got the results. Nama realization. This is the first a revelation from the holy name. He gives you the understanding of how he is identical with Krishna. You can feel his presence everywhere. The way he's crying and dancing and jumping about, there's something is happening there. He's infused, he's feeling the presence of God in his heart. And out, without also. And because he's chanting Hare Krishna, the holy name is not different than Krishna, so he's experiencing all these different symptoms, which he thinks are kind of a madness. But this is the first revelation from the holy name. And then in Mahaprabhu's pastime, he went to Kenai Natshala. After Gaya, he went to Kenai Natshala. That place is... who's been there, Kenai Natshala? Not so many. Anyway, you must go there. A beautiful place. We have a temple there. Mahaprabhu went there, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur installed footprints of Radha and Krishna and Mahaprabhu there. No, the footprints of Radha and Krishna there have been there since time immemorial. but he installed footprints of Mahaprabhu, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And it's known that this place is called Gupta Vrindavan. It's none different than Vrindavan. And Mahaprabhu went there, he accepted it as Vrindavan. And he saw Krishna there, because it was Vrindavan. So he had a darshan of Krishna, so he told all the devotees when he came back, I saw Krishna, and he was calling me, come on, come on. And I went running, and then he disappeared, and then Mahaprabhu was thrown in a great mood of separation from Krishna. Rupa. Second manifestation of the holy name. He will reveal its form. Generally the form of the Ishtadeva or the deity you worship, he will reveal that form. So, Mahaprabhu had that. Then after that he went back to Navadvipa and he called all the devotees, he told him what happened. Now he became Bhakta, Nimai Bhakta. He wasn't Nimai scholar anymore, the Pandit. He was the great devotee. And it's described there in Charitamrita how Mahaprabhu would... Oh, he would be relishing the different qualities of Krishna. The sweetness of Krishna, of his voice, the gentleness of his touch, the smell of fragrance of Krishna's body. They're all experiencing. And Mahaprabhu was saying, my senses are having a tug of war. When I'm using my nose to smell the fragrance of Krishna, but my eyes want to go there, my mind wants to go there, my tongue wants to go there. All my senses are competing to go there, to smell, and it's like a tug of war. And every time my sense goes to another, my ears go to hear Krishna's sweet voice, and my eyes want to go, my tongue, everything wants to go. And my senses are having a tug of war, fighting to get the position of hearing. So this is the guna. Realization of the guna, the qualities of Krishna. This is the holy name's third revelation, which Mahaprabhu was experiencing. Then the final revelation is guna, lila. And Mahaprabhu also showed this lila, that he was in internal ecstasy, fainted. So all the devotees were around him chanting Hare Krishna in his ear, they didn't like to see him faint, they were all worried, and so they wanted to bring to his external consciousness, although he was in his internal consciousness. Then somehow or another they woke him up, and then he said, why did you do that? Why did you wake me up? I was there, we were with all the Shakis, we were picking flowers, we were going to make garlands for Radha and Krishna. Why did you call me back? Why did you call me back? So he is actually entering into the Leela, he's witnessing the Leela of Krishna. So this is the another revelation of the holy name, Nama Rupa Guna Leela. It's progression. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed that if you're sincere, very quickly this happened. Mahaprabhu did this one after another. The revelation was one after, very, very quickly. And immediately upon initiation and executing that order, it began. So that's how Mahaprabhu was showing us. If you're serious, especially about chanting Hare Krishna, then the effect can be immediate. And Mahaprabhu showed the example. So here also we have King Chichuketu. He's the same. He was given a mantra by Narada Muni. He's taken it very seriously, the whole process of initiation. Within 7 days only, he has a darshan of the Lord. Dhruva took 6 months, but that's damn good, 6 months. But also he had darshan. He got mantra from the Narada Muni also, and he chanted it with sincerity, and they got the fruits of this mantra very quickly. So this is the idea that they're getting all the different fruits by chanting these different mantras. So Okay, we'll read the story. Vidyahara, he was... Yeah, so he is blessed by Narottama. He sees the Lord. And he became pure devotee. He gave up all material aspiration. Now he's going back to Godhead, but intermediately he took another birth on the way back to Godhead as a in Vidyadhara Loka. He was a king. He was the king of the Vidyaharas. They had their own planet, so he was a king. He was a king of Vidyaharas. But he still remembered he wasn't... Vidyaharas are enjoyers, they're higher denizens of the material world. But they're higher than humans, they're Vidyaharas, you get up scale now. And, you know, they can move around. You read in the Krishna book when there was some function going on, some sacrifice, Yudhisthira was performing ashwamedhas and Krishna was there. And it always mentions how the Vidyadharas came, the Charanas came, the Apsaras came, the Gandhavas came, they're all singers and dancers, they're all, these were all in the mood of enjoyment. If you want karma, dharma, artha, karma, moksha, this is the progressive, realize. If you want karma, then you go to these planets. That's what they're for. So you see they come when there's a big function going on, they were coming down, and the shrutas and the mudgas, they're all musicians, especially, and Apsaras are great dancers, so they create a nice mood, the dancing and all these different kinds of musical concerts and things like that. I performed by these people. They had knowledge of Krishna and the demigods and the worship, so they would come and assist in these big functions. Now nobody even believes in these other living beings except on the planet Earth. Because I happen to be on the Earth planet, that's why it's so special. But everywhere else there is no life, because I happen to be here, and this planet is the best and most special. But anyway, these they all have their different planets and different levels, and they're all considered more heavenly than human and higher standard of enjoyment. So, but he was an enjoyer. He had all of his queens, and he had a big mansion. He could fly around in a big kind of aerial spaceship, full of it for enjoyment. But he never forgot his position as the eternal servant of Krishna. He never forgot his Lord. So this is the prerogative of devotee, especially in the higher planets. They get the sense gratification is for them. This planet is more for tapasya, not for sense gratification. Human life is meant for self-realization. So those who are they get more advanced, they go to the planet, but he could remember his devotion to Krishna or to Shankarshan. Ananta was his worshipful deity. Anyway, flying around one time, he saw Lord Shiva and Parvati was sitting on Lord Shiva's lap. And Kichitetu started laughing, you know, here's Lord Shiva, Mahamuni. doesn't have a house, he lives under the tree, he doesn't comb his hair. And here he is, he's surrounded by great sages and munis. And he's got his wife on his lap, it seems like. So Kichitetu was like, because they're friends actually, they're related. Chuchiketu started laughing at Lord Shiva's activity, because he knew his powers, his greatness and everything like that. So in joking mood, they're like brothers. And maybe brothers. And so he was laughing. Lord Shiva didn't take anything. But Parvati got very angry, you know. Why is he laughing at me? He doesn't know Shiva's position. He doesn't know my position. I'm the mistress of the entire universe. And so she mistook him as if he was criticizing her husband, Lord Shiva. So she cursed him. I curse you'll become a demon. Oh, anyway, then after that, Lord Shiva preached that you shouldn't have done that. He's my brother. We have joking friendship. I'm laughing at him. He's sitting on an airplane with thousands of women, flying around enjoying. I'm also laughing at him. So it's just a little joke we're having. So anyway, he was cursed to become a devotee. That was Vritasura. Because the question was, how come Vritasura was such a great devotee? He was born as a demon, he was fighting the demigod. So here is Parikshit now is asking the question, and Shukadeva is revealing the previous birth of Vritasura, that he was his king Kichachetra. And he maintained his consciousness as a Vijitara. And as Asura, Vritasura, he's still maintaining his consciousness. He's still understanding the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And he kills Indra. Of course, Indra didn't die, but he swallowed Indra, thought Indra's dead, I'll go back to Godhead now. So Vritasura is just meditating on his worshipful Lord, who was Shankarshan, Ananta. King Kichachetu's worshipful Lord is Shankarshan, because they're the same person. So even he took birth as the Asura, he maintained his worshipful Lord, the remembrance of his worshipful Lord and service to his worshipful Lord in his heart, even though he was in a demon's body, but he maintained his consciousness as a bhakta of Shankarshan, as he had previously as King Kichachetu. And so they had they were the same person, they had the same worshipful Lord. So this is how the story is going on. So this is in it. And after Vritasura died, then he went back to Godhead, he went back to Shankarshan. So he took one birth on the way as King Kichachetu, that pious king who was king of Surasena. So like that, sometimes the devotees, they don't go directly back, but they have to take a birth. And Prabhupada said, if you still have a mood of enjoyment in Krishna consciousness, you're performing devotional service, but you have a mood of enjoyment, then your next birth will be in the heavenly planets. And you'll work off that enjoyment, and after that, you can go back. If you have a mood of enjoyment, you're not expected to maintain a mood of enjoyment, especially at the last part of your life when you're leaving your body very rapidly. You should wind everything up completely and take complete shelter of the Lord. Then you go back to Godhead. So, if a devotee, after being initiated, adheres rigidly to the instructions of the spiritual master, he is naturally endowed with all material opulences of Vidyadhara Adipatyam, becoming the master of the planet of the Vidyadharas. A devotee does not need to practice karma yoga gyan to achieve a successful results. Devotional service alone is competent to award a material power, although he gets it very easily without personal endeavor. King Kichachetu, he received this power simply as a side benefit of devotional service. Not that he was interested, but somehow or other he was given that position, so he could still enjoy as a side product of his devotional service. But his consciousness was more fixed on his devotional service rather than the side product of being the king of the Vidyadharas. He acted like a king, like he was enjoying, but his consciousness was fixed. His main consciousness was fixed on his worshipful Lord and his devotional service. So, a devotee, he doesn't have to worry about karma, gyan, yoga to achieve successful results. Devotional service alone is powerful enough to do it. So this is the position of devotional service, the position of bhakti. Bhakti is independent. Whereas karma gyan yoga, to get the perfections of these, you need some bhakti yoga. But for bhakti yoga, you don't need karma, you don't need gyan, you don't need yoga. It's independent. So, just like the karmis, they want sense gratification. They're religious, they're pious, they're practicing karma yoga, but they want happiness in the material world. So what does Krishna say about the karma yogi? Yadasi yat paroshi. Whatever you do as an offering to me. Whatever you eat, you do as an offering. Whatever you give in charity, you give in to me. In other words, do everything for Krishna. So, karma yoga culminates in bhakti yoga. When you do that, when you do everything for Krishna, yadasi yat, for everything for Krishna, then it becomes bhakti. Your karma becomes bhakti. And of jnana, for the jnani yogis, Krishna says, mao nam jamananti, after thousands and thousands of births of being a jnani, searching for truth, one comes to this conclusion, vasudeva sarvamiti, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he surrenders unto Krishna. So the conclusion of jnana is, after thousands of births you're going to become you surrender to Krishna. You in reference to that verse, Prabhupada said, this is Krishna's statement, after thousands of births you come to the platform Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God, the Yusman. Prabhupada says, I'm telling you now, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You surrender to Krishna now. You hear me? And you do that, you skip those thousands and thousands of births. Because you come to the conclusion of thousands and thousands of births. Which is to surrender to Krishna. So the culmination of jnana is bhakti. Surrendering to Krishna. So you get your perfection of jnana when it dovetails, or used for understanding bhakti. And the other yogas, Ashtanga yoga, all the other yogas actually, what does Krishna say? Yogi mamapi, what's it? Yogi? Yogi mamapi sarvesham, of all yogis, the one I consider the best is the bhakti yogi, who has taken shelter in me, he resides in me. So therefore, the conclusion of yoga is, it brings you to bhakti. So when they're used for this purpose, karma, jnana, yoga are used to bring it, then it's okay. But when they're not used for that purpose, then they become inauspicious. If they're just used for karma, just used for jnana, used for yoga, then they become inauspicious because they keep you bound up in the material world. But when they're used to reveal the high position of bhakti, then they have meaning. So, karma, jnana, yoga, without bhakti, they don't become fruitful. And bhakti, even if it doesn't have karma, jnana, yoga, still it's fruitful. It's not dependent on anything else. So Krishna says, anyway, don't waste your time, karma, jnana, yoga. You give up that. Controlling and enjoying aspect through your karma, through your yoga, you simply do it using as a tool so you can still enjoy and make spiritual progress. So therefore Krishna, also give up all those karma, jnana, yoga, sarvadanam parityajamamikam, give up all those, you surrender to me immediately. So the effect can be immediate. So when the devotional service is not dependent on anything else, karma, jnana, yoga, or all the other processes. And it's immediate if we put it into practice. So, that's all awaiting. Bhukti, mukti, siddhi. Especially bhukti, mukti, they wait as maid servants for the devotee. A pure devotee, the Bhakti and Mukti are waiting. How we can serve you? How we can? We want to serve the devotee. We want to serve the Bhakta. And the Bhakta say, get away from me. They kick him away. Kick. We don't want Mukti. We don't want Mukti. Kick them away. But still they don't go away. We'll stay nearby. Any service you want, we want to do Bhakta Seva. But the devotees, no, kick them away. So, so we can say that these mantras are so powerful that they can give everything. This mantra we just, that he read this, it also comes up in the later chapter. Om Namo Bhagavate Mahaprabhu Shaya Mahanubhubhaya Shambhat Vipataya Saha Mahabhibhuti Bhiya Palemu Paramiti. It's a similar, but it's used in connection with the the Purma Shabha ritualistic ceremony chapter. Same mantra is there. Dear Lord Vishnu, full in six opulences, beauty, fame, strength, wealth, and renunciation. When you've got Krishna, what have you not got? Bhagavan means this, six, Samahavi Bhuti Bhir, these six bhutis, strength, fame, knowledge, wealth, renunciation. If you surrender to Krishna, who is full in these opulences, then what is difficult for you to achieve anything? If you want these opulences, Krishna's got them in full, then you become Krishna's devotee. No problem, you don't even have to ask, you can get them. If our Father has all opulences in full, then why we should work? We depend on our Father. He can give. So that mantra is there. It's used in deity worship. Prabhupada said, and that's why I know that mantra is because Prabhupada said, all pujaris should worship, chant this mantra before worshipping the deity. So, I don't know if pujaris still chant that, but we used to chant that. Especially the Shaligram pujaris can chant that. So anyway, what is it for opulence or any facility for a devotee? What is the problem? If he's got Krishna, he's got everything. We also may ask a question that the mantras are so powerful. Then, why need spiritual master? Spiritual master is the holy name is all powerful. Nam nama kori bahuda nivasarva shakti. All the potencies are in the holy name. Sarva shakti. That means guru shakti is there also. So why is it necessary to take guru? All the potencies are in the holy name here. He rigidly followed the instructions of the spiritual master. He becomes naturally endowed with all material opulences. So it's a fact that the holy name is all powerful. Guru Shakti is there, then the holy name can reveal everything. We cannot say the holy name doesn't have all potencies. Because the holy name and Krishna are non-different. So, the idea is that actually everything is in the holy name. And you don't need guru. But, they say, whoever made it back to Godhead without taking a guru? You can't say the holy name is anything less, it has something less. Yeah, no, that's completely full, so everything is there. So you don't need a guru because you've got the holy name, it's everything. But it tells us whoever made it back to Godhead without taking guru and following the instructions of guru. We don't get that example of anybody who did it. All these stories in Bhagavatam, they were always instructed by a guru, they got instruction, they had to. So it's a fact, it's described in the or maybe even this chapter, or the fifth chapter. Is it the Hams, maybe the Hamsa Guha prayers, maybe in this chapter. There Prabhupada's talking about initiation. And he said that at the time of initiation, one gets a spiritual body. You have to accept this on the strength of the Shastras. And he quotes Sanatana Goswami. In the Hari Bhakti Vilas, they're giving the example of bell metal. You have bell metal, kashi. You have your lotus made of bell metal. Or the deity's eating plates. You get brass, it's like brass, you know. Anyway, it's a different mixture, it doesn't tarnish or anything. So used for eating and drinking. Well, bell metal, when it's mixed with another ingredient, namely mercury, it turns into gold by this mixture. You can make gold, propositive. If you know the art, you can make gold. Of course, he described that the yogis who get this city, you have to mix the mercury with the bell metal, so you have to drink the mercury and digest it, and when you pass the water on the bell metal, and then it becomes gold. That's the process. So the devotee said, well, Prabhupada, can we start producing gold? Prabhupada said, first digest mercury. Mercury is deadly poisonous, you drink it, you'll die. So you've got to be powerful enough to be able to drink mercury. But anyway, they're giving this example. That mercury mixed with bell metal, these mixtures, it turns into gold. So similarly, even persons coming from outside of Vedic culture, Yavanas, Malechas, Pulindas, whatever, if they take this process of initiation, they immediately also can get spiritual body. And Prabhupada said that you may not notice that all of a sudden you've got another two arms because you've got initiation. It may not happen like that, he said, but he said at least you can see that the subtle body changes. He said the gross body may not change, but he said definitely you can see the subtle body changes. Because before, we didn't know anything about Krishna. Didn't even heard of Krishna a few years ago. And then suddenly Krishna comes into your life and it's 24 hours a day, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Everything is Krishna, 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 Krishna. So the mind is changed. It's always thinking of Krishna. Before it was always thinking of sense gratification. That was its identity. Now it's identifying as Krishna's servant. So everything now is Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So you can see the subtle body has changed. And of the two, the subtle body is more important than the gross body. Because the gross body is a production of the subtle body. So, Sanatana Goswami said, we have to accept that at the time of initiation, the devotee gets the spiritual body and the spiritual name, and Krishna recognizes you by that name from that time on. He will recognize you by that given name of Guru. So, so this is the idea in all these stories in Bhagavatam. That one has to meet a devotee. This is the finishing touch It's the drop of mercy from a devotee that makes everything go. In all these stories, practically, you see. You need that little one drop of mercy, or half a drop, quarter of a drop. You need a little bit of mercy, that's all it takes. One drop. And then everything happens. It's the finishing touch to your devotional progress. And without initiation into chanting the holy names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, without performing devotional service, without that little drop of mercy from the devotee of Krishna, it's impossible to get rid of anxiety and lamentation. If these sages hadn't come and seen Kitra Ketra, he would have been lamenting whole life and next life, and he would have gone on lamenting forever. There's no cure for this lamentation, except performing devotional service and getting one little bit of a drop of mercy from him. Then that makes everything good. Otherwise, you're going to stay in this material. You must be in illusion and lament. That's the only thing that everybody's doing in the world. If they don't accept the Guru, they don't accept the process of bhakti, devotional service, they're going to be in a state of lamentation. Lamentation and, what is it? Two things? Huh? Hankering, that's it. That's all that goes on in the material world for the karma. They're hankering and lamenting. Hankering for something they can't get or they want, and lamenting because they can't have it. This is all that goes on in the hankering element. So you're going to be going on like this forever. Lamentation. So by taking shelter of a pure devotee then, and the process of devotional service, this is the supreme cure for this material world. Otherwise there is no cure. You must go on lamenting and hankering. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And I was also going to speak about Durga, because she's the agent of giving you a hankering and lamentation and punishing. Because now it's Durga Puja. But anyway, that's her function. Keep you lamenting and hankering in this world. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Samaveda Bhakta Prindi ki jai, Nitai Gaura Premanandi. Thank you. Any comment? Question? Yes, Mataji.
Please accept my humble obeisances, Raj. Thank you for the wonderful class. I just wanted to...
Yes.
Hare Krishna. Please accept my humble obeisances. Thank you for the wonderful class. I just wonder, when Chitra Ketu was... when any jiva, when they get purified and on their way to Godhead, they are generally so purified, they are not attracted to any material sense enjoyment. So what was it when he was... You said that Chitra Ketu had fixed consciousness, but why he had to go through that planet of excessive sense enjoyment? Was there any risk of falling down in their consciousness for others, not just for him?
See that they have different laws in the demigod planets. They don't need really, we have so many laws and morality and things like that. In the demigod planets, it's not such a big thing. They're not subject to these nitty-gritty rules and regulations. So they are, you're there for enjoyment. That's the planet. They're made for enjoyment. So they're there. So that's what goes on there. You know, you've got to go along with it, whatever else is going on. But he didn't lose his consciousness. They're all heavenly planets for enjoying. Krishna says in the Bhagavad we just read, actually, you're entitled to do your duty, but you're not entitled to the fruits of your work. So he was doing his duty as the king of the Vidyaharas, but he wasn't accepting the fruit of his work, or the enjoyment of it. He wasn't attached to the fruits, he was attached to Shankarshan.
So any jiva who get purified, is it that they have to go through different planets when they go back to Godhead and continue to do their duty in different planets, or when somebody is completely purified they can straight away go to Krishna?
Now Prabhupada said even if you desire a rasgula, you'll have to come back and take another birth. Take a rest. But who's going to be so foolish to think of a rasgula when they're leaving their body? Our whole practice as devotees is, what is the duty of a person who's about to die, especially? So very rapidly we remember Krishna when we're going to leave it. We're not going to start thinking of rasgulas. That's for sure. So we're training, this is our training. So very rapidly we remember Krishna. We won't think, but if we still have some attachments and we're thinking, Krishna will give you this position to work off that karma.
So much. Thank you.
Yes. Oh, put one in the back.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
You said that unless one takes initiation, they cannot be free from lamentation. What about those devotees who accept Srila Prabhupada directly without taking physical initiation from any living guru? Will they also be suffering from lamentation?
Well, here in this verse it said that he accepted initiation and very rigidly followed the principles. So the principle is Ivam Param Praprabdhim. In our sampradaya, then we have to accept a guru. Who's connected to Srila Prabhupada. So why jump over? Jumping over means not following the rules that go with the instructions that go with the, what did he say? Yeah, they're not adhering rigidly to the instructions of the spiritual master. Now it's okay if they say, well, I'm Srila Prabhupada's disciple, but is Prabhupada considering you his disciple? It said that it's the spiritual master who decides. Well, it's the spiritual master who decides what constitutes devotional service, not the disciple. If Prabhupada comes to you and tells you and connects you, that's okay, but if it's just, I want to take initiation and I'll accept him as my guru, that's okay. But is Prabhupada accepting it? If Prabhupada is there, comes and accepts it, then he can, okay. But if he's not, then just because I want this particular guru and I'm not going through the proper channels, I'm not adhering strictly to the principle, then why there should be fruit from my chanting him?
Thank you. How can we know, she's asking, how can we know that devotees have gone back to Godhead? Simply by reading Srimad Bhagavatam, or how can we know that?
If they were remembering Krishna, then they went back to Godhead. That's the main symptom. Krishna says, if you're remembering me, become my devotee, worship me, offer homage to me, you'll come back to me, I promise you. four things Krishna said: become my devotee, remember me, offer homage to me, and anyway, worship, become my pujari. Krishna's instruction. You can do four, you can do just one of those things. So specifically remembering Krishna. If you remember me, man mana bhava madbhakta, you think of me at the time. You won't have to come back, Krishna says, I promise you. That's the main symptom, that they're remembering Krishna. That's why when the devotee is leaving their body, we like to be around chanting Hare Krishna Kirtan, so he's hearing Krishna's name and remembering Krishna. Main symptom.
Prabhuji, like Chitraketu was put in a enjoying position and he did not forget that his love for Krishna. But because he was associating in different ways, then he is not feeling the ecstasy. And in the, like, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where it is, where Lord Chaitanya is explaining the Shikshashtak verses, he is saying that, make me servant and give me the salary of love of Godhead.
He says?
Lord Chaitanya is saying that, make me your servant. To Krishna he is saying, make me your servant and give me the salary of love of Godhead. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that, that salary of love of Godhead means ecstasy. So even if Chitraketu is not forgetting his love for Krishna, but he is not feeling the ecstasy because he is having to do all different things. So like why he is put there? Like why some devotee is like not given that connection? Because unless you are directly in touch with Krishna, how you can feel the ecstasy?
I didn't quite catch it. Can you just make it short? One second.
Yeah, like Chitraketu was in an enjoying position and did not forget his love for Krishna, but he could not have felt the ecstasy of directly associating with Krishna. So, how to get that? Like,
well, we don't know. Actually, it mentions he was doing kirtan. He was flying around with his entourage, and they were actually having kirtan. It wasn't a Bollywood song they were singing. They were having actually kirtan and dancing. You can say it was a devotional airplane ride, wherever they were going on the airplane. But they were having kirtan there, so that was a saving grace. Yeah, but we don't know when Kichachachu is. He may have been at times when he was very, very meditative on Shankarshan and worshipping his Lord, obviously. And as a king, he has to go out with his subjects, and what can you do? You're in a place of enjoyment. You've got to go along with the the enjoying mood. But anyway, they were doing kirtan. So wherever there is kirtan, there will always become success. Hare Krishna.
Yeah. Thank you, Prabhu, for your class. I would like to clarify, in one purport I have read that devotees also undergo first the Brahman realization, and then it's a gradual thing, Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan realization. So for us, we generally hear about other also aspect of realization, Naam, Roop, Gun and Leela, which you explained. So what does the Bhagavan realization mean in terms of the Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan realization?
What does the
Bhagavan realization?
Come on.
Bhagavan realization.
Bhagavan.
Signify for the devotee. When we see in terms of Naam, Roop, Gun, Leela.
Yeah, well, Rupa. Rupa, you'll see the form of the Lord, your worshipful Lord. So that'll be Bhagavan, Guna, Vidyut. There's an interaction with the qualities, with the Supreme Personality of God, so that's Guna. And Leela, you enter into the Leela there. That's also Bhagavan.
So, like, if we are taking to the chanting of holy names, we will realize Brahman, Paramatma aspects also?
Yeah. Brahman and?
Paramatma, Super Soul. Do we realize those aspects also when we take to the chanting of holy names?
See, now means you're out of the material modes of nature. You're experiencing the spiritual nature of the holy name. That is your Shambandha. So that is Brahman realization. You're realizing Brahman. And when you realize Brahman, then you can realize Paramatma, which is the same platform. You're on the... Krishna said, one who has controlled his mind, you can become Brahman realized. And when you've controlled your mind, Super Soul is already reached. So a person has Nama, automatically you're going to get peace of mind, you're going to have self-realization. When the Holy Name reveals His spiritual presence, then you'll realize Him with your spiritual presence. So Brahman will be realized, and the presence of the Lord as Paramatma will be. Krishna says, Bhagavad Gita, one who has controlled his mind, the Super Soul is already reached. So controlled mind means Nama. If you're realizing the presence of the Lord, that means your mind is controlled. So when the mind is controlled, Super Soul is already reached. So the aspect is Brahman is realized, Paramatma is realized, Sambandha is realized, Chetodarpanam is realized, your heart is cleansed, Brahma Bhuta Prashanatma is realized. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.